Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced Program. Let's get started.
The Get Balanced Podcast, and I am Dr. Donnie, and my special guest today is Police Officer Scott Medlin. And Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's good to be here.
Oh, I'm glad to have you. And we're recording on a Friday afternoon, which is wonderful. But Scott, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background as a police officer? And I know also you are a Marine and Iraq War veteran. And
yes, sir.
Thank you for your service.
Appreciate it.
I'm an Army National Guard veteran, but did not go over to Iraq. So let me turn it over to you and tell us a little bit about your police officer career.
It started not too long ago, only 12 years ago in 2007, right after I got out of the Marines and graduated from college. I joined a city agency, the town where I had grown up, big city in North Carolina. Not exactly as big as Charlotte, but big city enough to have enough activity. So I was brought into a lot of activity very quick, and I learned a lot very fast. I'm now a police officer at a university, and I had to take that, and I decided to take that job because of putting my family first. Like I said, 12 years at a city agency, and then it just got to a point where it was best for me to walk away from it for my family's sake. So that whole thing about getting balanced, I didn't want to put them to the side for a career that I enjoy, but I don't want to lose them. So right now I'm just working at a university, but I also am working on, I've written two books, Mental Health Fight of the Heroes in Blue and 101 Health Tips for Police Officers. People can get those on Amazon. I want to inspire and help as many police officers as possible, because right now we're obviously going through a very challenging time, and I want to inspire as many as possible just to stay with it. If it's not costing you anything negatively, stick with it.
Yeah. And I think one way that hopefully we can inspire is, I think you have a story in there, because you know, usually people don't take that career move that's less challenging, right, if you will, but you mentioned about the family. And if I recall, I do a little research, is that you called it, I think, your dream position at one time, your K-9.
Tell
us about that, Scott.
It was a dream come true. When I interned at the department where I wanted to work, I was a high school intern. I saw the K-9 unit training. And one of the dogs, it was a Belgian Malinois, crazy dog. I mean, high strung, but great police officer. He ran right into my lap, and I wrapped my arms around him. Knowing what I know about dogs now, I wouldn't have done that back then, but I gave him a hug, and fortunately he didn't bite my face off. But at that point I was like, I want to do this one day. I want to be that officer that goes out there and catches the bad guys when they run after hurting good people or stealing from stores or whatever the case may be. Like, I want to do this canine position. Well, in 2012, after showing for at least 10 years that I was serious about it, attending canine training sessions, networking with canine officers, and really showing that I was serious about it, not just doing it because, oh, I like dogs, I was granted a position on the team in 2012. So from 2012 to 2016, I was on the unit. But in 2015, my first son was born, and I had let the work of canine become my identity. I would tell people when they asked what I did, I am a canine officer. I mean, the words I am are very powerful. And I believed that I was, like, I didn't say I am a father, I am a husband. I am a canine officer. And unfortunately, I got so wrapped up in the job, I was not present to my wife. I was not present to my firstborn son. It was just me and the dog.
Scott, when you say not present, tell us a little bit more about that. What is okay. that? What's it look like? What did it feel like? What did it feel like for them, do you think?
the dog obviously demanded a lot of attention. It's a dog, you have to take care of it. But due to the fact the my canine partner Romac and I were together so much, he was all consuming even at the house. But mentally, I would take the stress of the job, because canine work can be very stressful, obviously, because you're in dangerous situations with the police dog. I would take that stress and it would come home with me. And that's one thing police officers are not open to. Like, they say, oh, I don't bring it home with me. You physically and mentally do. There's no way around that. Mm-hmm. And I was not doing a good job of coping with the traumatic action I had been exposed to at work. Okay. So my wife was seeing the stress. On my days off, I would not keep my son with me. Instead, I would plop him off at daycare and I would just hang out around the house and be with the canine. I would, during conversations with my wife, I would not be fully attentive to her. I would always be in la la land thinking of what I wanted to do or how I could be a better canine officer. And it really started to hurt her and my son. And that's what I mean when I said I'm not being present. Mentally, I was not fully attentive to the people that mean the most to me.
Yes. And yeah, it's interesting you bring, you know, people that mean the most to you, because that's, I always like to get this in, is that how my work with work-life balance is that I sort of try to have this unique definition of work-life balance, because it's you know, it's not really about balance. You know, there's no such thing as balancing time. And
right.
But for me, in my work, is work-life balance is that, are we aligning our day-to-day behaviors with our priorities in life?
Yes, good way to put it.
And you mentioned that, you know, you said you weren't mentally there with the people that meant the most to you, and that those are your priorities, right?
Yeah, I was not making them first priority. And the, like I said, the job is demanding, the job is stressful. But when I was with them, I was not taking the time to say, let's go on a vacation soon, or hey, I'm going to take the boy to the park. I was taking time to decompress, and I was just thinking about myself, and it was not good. And then when I was at work, I was having a blast. And unfortunately, there were nights when my wife would call and say, I wish you were here. I'm stressed with this kid. I feel like I'm the breadwinner. I'm a single mother half the month. This is getting out of control. And I would get angry at her. I wouldn't consider her feelings. And that obviously was not good.
Yeah.
And I talk about it in my book, Mental Health Fight of the Heroes in Blue. She told me she was having thoughts of life without me, not because of the hazards of getting killed on the job, but just because she felt disconnected with me. And when she said that, I realized, whoa, it's gotten that bad. I let the job become my identity, not priority of being a husband. And that's when I made the move and I said, well, I got to give this up. And a pastor friend of mine said, Scott, the job is earthly. Your wife is godly. You need to make the tough decision, but the right decision. So I did. And it was very tough. I miss the dog to this day, but I know I made the right decision.
Yes. Yes. And I heard you mention about your firstborn son. Do you have more than one child?
Yes, we have two. They are 2 and 5 now. I'm with them 2 days a week, because we got them out of full-time daycare and they kick my butt. They are very busy. They are wide open, but the days can feel long, but the weeks just fly by. And they are typical. I mean, they are wide open boys, and I am grateful that they are 100% boy. As much as they drive me nuts, they can redeem themselves in a split second. But yes, we have two kids, and my wife and I just hit our 10-year anniversary for marriage. So big year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, when you spent that time out of balance and you knew where things were going south and things like that, do you look back with any regret at all?
The only ounce of regret I have, but it's not really regret, because this was a struggle that I turned into something. I don't think I would be where I am today if I didn't go through that struggle.
Yeah.
I would have probably still been on the canine unit had I been more attentive to my family. But I wouldn't have written these books to help other officers. I wouldn't have my own YouTube channel now trying to inspire other officers. I wouldn't be leading other officers when they're going through trouble because I would be wrapped up with the canine position. So overall, not a lot of regret. I'm not celebrating that my marriage went through that struggle, but we did take the struggle and make something good out of it.
That's excellent. Yes. Yes. Let me shift gears on you a little bit.
All right.
Because with police officers, as well as firefighters, paramedics, physical health, mental health.
Yes.
It's a challenge.
Tremendous.
It's a challenge. And I, my research is on work-life balance. The centerpiece of it is about self-care. Yeah.
Right.
Essentially how well we take care of ourselves. If we do a good job of that with our mm-hmm. physical care, our psychological, social, and spiritual, mm-hmm. it generally leads us down a path of pretty good balance.
Absolutely.
And how have you, I can see you, you know, I know we're on a podcast and there are listeners out there, but I can see you. Right. And from the elbows up, you look physically fit.
Well, thank you.
You're sitting in a chair. So,
thank you.
With that said, how did you keep in shape? How do you stay in shape? What's the internal motivation going on with you for that?
I could talk for another 3 hours about this, but I will say when I would encourage if any listener out there is thinking about getting into law enforcement or is brand new in law enforcement or first responder work in general, make a promise to yourself because you are in an impressionable part where your mind is very impressionable if you're in the beginning stages. Make a promise to yourself to stay physically fit because the job in itself will be physically demanding because of rotating shifts, 12-hour shifts, which a lot of first responders go through and work. But also, in particular with police, I don't want to be in a fight to begin with, but I know it's inevitable, especially in busier cities where you have to go hands-on with people or you have to be in a fight for your life. I never, ever, ever wanted to be that officer who ran out of breath before the bad guy.
Yeah.
So I made a promise to myself. I'm going to stay in shape. And when I did start, there were veteran officers who would tell me, oh, you give it 10 years. Your waist size is going to be 3 times what it is now. I've actually gone down a waist size so they can, you know, they can disregard what they said. But so when you start, make a promise to yourself what you're going to do. However, at the same token, yes, I made a promise to stay physically fit. But I did make the mistake of not being open and understanding of the fact that I'm human and I am going to have inevitable reactions of stress that every other human is going to have. And that is what a lot of first responders are not trained about. Like you're going to see things your brain cannot wrap around, cannot put knowledge around. All it can put around is stress hormones and emotions. And they run very high. And if you don't cope with those, if you don't are not aware of what is going on, then it can suck the life out of you and you can change. And unfortunately, we've seen high rates of suicide amongst law enforcement, correction officers. I'm not sure about paramedics and fire, but I'm sure they have their fair share. So what I would advise is just understand you are human. And I didn't wrap my head around that when I first started. And I just used the typical line, oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. A lot of other police officers and other first responders will do that. Mm-hmm. But yet they'll turn to alcohol because that's quicker than coping with trauma. That's quicker than actually putting healthy methods towards it.
Yeah.
So what I would say is, and this is kind of a great segue into the last book I just wrote, 101 health tips for police officers, how to be physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually healthy for duty. You have to keep that balance going. And it is something where you have to make a promise. Okay, I made the promise to myself to stay in shape, but now it's, well, how can I stay in shape mentally, socially, and spiritually as well? And that's what I'm trying to get across to a lot of different officers and first responders. because you have to make that promise to yourself. Commitment is very important.
That it is. And when you talk about, such as you mentioned, spiritual piece of it too, is that what is your philosophy of life, and where did those principles come from? You know, those foundational core values, where did they come from? How did you learn them?
I grew up in the church. I'm still with the church.
Mm-hmm.
God has been ever present in my career because I have lived through dangerous situations that I should have died, but he was there with me. So a lot of the spiritual, it's true. Thank goodness.
So, you were talking about, you grew up in the church, and then it sort of froze. You know, you lived through some dangerous situations with God. You can pick it up from there.
Right. Mm-hmm. I know people who are not believers in God, and I do not judge. All I can do is live my life through actions that reflect back on him. And I know that you had mentioned this in another episode, quoting St. Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. That's the philosophy I take. But for the people in my life in first responder work who don't believe in God, who I've done my best to help throughout situations as well, I make it very clear, even in my book, there's energy. There's the human spirit. If you take a negative road in life, you will produce negative energy.
Yeah.
The same as when I don't pray, or when I'm not expressing faith in God and instead thinking that I'm in control, that's bad energy and it's not good. So energy is present through everybody.
Yes. Yeah. What are your toughest challenges today with work-life balance and self-care?
Since I've been in it for 12 years, there are a lot of incidents that my brain has been exposed to. And the fact about PTSD from starting from Iraq all through policing,
mm-hmm.
when the brain takes snapshots of bad situations so it can train itself how to prepare for the next time. So it rehearses it over and over and over again. Hence that movie people talk about, well, I can't get that thought out of my head. I've had so many traumatic experiences that I've witnessed and lived through that if I'm not careful, if I don't take the time to pray, if I don't take time to eat right, if I don't take time to exercise, if I don't take the time to laugh and be with friends and be social, those thoughts take over and I can get stressed and I can become bitter and I can become depressed. So that's kind of the struggle, not the struggle, but the ever-present challenge that is with me. And I know it's with other officers. You're not immune to what you see. And it's a matter of learning how to cope continuously.
Yeah. Yes. And one of the things you mentioned earlier, I want to just touch base on for the listeners, is that you mentioned about suicide and with firefighters, and
right,
they, like law enforcement, there are more suicides than line of duty deaths per year.
So sad. It's tragic.
It absolutely is. And when we get back to sort of that, the self-care and what you were just talking about, Scott, with the those images and the videos that play out in your mind and all of that, you know, mental health, you know, all first responder industries, you know, there's a huge push to where, you know, it's a quote, it's okay not to be okay type of,
right.
Have you gone down a path? And of course, you know, if you don't have to answer this or anything like that, but to seek out a qualified therapist, to learn some tools and things like that with your coping and ways to address this.
Yes, sir. I'm wide open about my path that I've had, so it's no problem at all. I unfortunately have battled PTSD. I have, because there was a moment in Iraq where I was almost killed. It was a miracle from God that I survived. That was my first exposure to real, real trauma. And from that experience and some others in Iraq, that's when I started to experience PTSD symptoms. a year after getting home. My outlook on life was very negative. I was judgmental towards people. I was bitter. My family relationship was falling apart. So I sought care for PTSD, found treatment, effective treatment in neuro-linguistic programming, where it greatly reduced the nightmares, the flashbacks. So I'm a big proponent of that. But through policing, I have battled those hopeless moments when all the adrenaline comes crashing down and the body just goes through a stressful flush, the depression sinks in, the hopelessness can come in, feeling like I'm in a battle that's not worth fighting anymore because I just keep seeing one negative thing after the other. I've had to receive treatment for depression because of that. I unfortunately, and it's always embarrassing to say, but I know others are going through it and you're not alone. And thank God it was before I was married, but I have battled an addiction to pornography. Trauma and stress are just so crazy what they will make someone do. No officer wakes up and says, today is the day I'm going to get addicted to something so I can deal with it. Today is the day where I will not care anymore what I eat and what I take into my body. And I don't care if I become morbidly obese. No officer says that. No firefighter, no EMS personnel says that, but yet it happens. So I've had struggles just like everyone else, but I'm open about it because I want others to know, just like you said, it's okay not to be okay. We're human. It's not okay to not seek help. So that's why I tell people I have sought treatment for numerous different things, and I'm all right with that because it has helped me and it can help you as well.
Yes. And I appreciate you sharing that because and I think things are starting to change. I mean, they really are, is that people are starting to feel more comfortable in getting help, and they should.
Yes, absolutely. And the department where I used to work for 12 years, they brought on a chaplain who was very effective. More officers were using the chaplains. Yeah. And there really is a big push nationwide. It's really gaining ground now and getting traction for departments to train their officers in mental health. And unfortunately, I was never taught that in the rookie school. And through 12 years, I only received a 45-minute class on it. So it needs to gain a lot more ground, but at least it's in the open now.
Yes. Yeah. You know, one of the other things I talk about frequently in my workshops is this, it's called spillover. It's like what we do in one role in our life, how it spills over into another role. You know, it can be positive or negative. It can be, you know, I joke about that every time I give a workshop, I'm like, hey, I made sure I didn't eat a meal right before I'm doing this workshop. I don't want my energy zapped.
Yeah.
Because the joke within my family, now I have four children, but joke within my family with my kids growing, when they were growing up and they were small, things like that, and watching a movie with them and things like that. But it was like, if it's a Friday night and we're ordering pizza in or something like that, and I eat pizza and have to sit on the sofa and watch a movie,
right?
I'm out. I'm out. Yeah. Cause I know pizza affects me that way, you know, just the way it is. And that's that part of that spillover, you know? And, you had mentioned about, you know, eating right and exercising. So I'm pretty confident to say you are a proponent of that spillover theory, saying that, you know, it really is true. What we do in one role in life, it does affect other roles, mentally, physically, spiritually, everything. Yeah,
it really does. Yes, it does. When you eat bad, you don't feel right mentally. When you don't cope with stress of being a first responder, the trauma comes home, whether you like to believe it or not.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Now, Scott, something I'm thinking of, you know, and you mentioned in this so far in this podcast, you know, several things you went through. I mean, you know, the PTSD in Iraq and all of that. And then as the police officer, the addiction, how did you turn the corner? I mean, what, any advice if some, you know, are there people in that position that you were in back then right now? Yes. Many.
There's many.
How, any advice on how to start that process of turning the corner?
When you realize things that were good all of a sudden are becoming bad, marriage, diet, workout, social life, when they start turning bad, do not look at other people or external factors as the problem. It could very well be your mindset from reacting to the job. Yeah. That's when pain starts to set in, there's a reason for it. Really dive in and think what is going on with me. And obviously there's certain things that are more obvious than others, like mine with the addiction and anxiety, always being worried about something happening and not taking faith in God that he'll protect me and that he has a plan for me. There are certain things that are more obvious than others.
Mm-hmm.
But when things that were not as good as what they were start to turn bad, that would be my advice. Like, do not look at external factors. Really examine how you are. And normally, 9 times out of 10, you can change something about you, and then everything else can get better from within and out.
Yes, yes. And then, and as you mentioned, you had help from professionals that were well trained in the industry, I would say.
Oh yes, yeah. I never ever have been one of those to think I'm less of a man, I'm less of an officer, I'm less of a warrior seeking help. If anything, it takes a strong person to do that, because our brains like to pick up on patterns. Mm-hmm. And sadly, if someone picks up on a pattern of alcoholism or addiction and something else, substance abuse, the brain will just accept it and it becomes normal. I never wanted to be that way. So I would always get in the way of that pattern after I realized, oh no, I can't, I need help. I can't do this on my own. I got to have extra assistance.
Yes. Yeah. What are your priorities today, Scott?
My family's first.
Yeah.
A lot of officers who I've worked with have preached that a long time. You know, family first, but yet they're not willing to do it. I see marriages falling apart. I see kids that are just angry at their parents because they're never present with them. I've seen officers say family first, but yet they're working every day. They're not scheduled to work a shift and they're at an off-duty job, all for some money for something.
Right.
Family has to be first, especially nowadays where it's just so stressful in and of itself being a first responder, especially a police officer, because of the negative, just broad stroke of a paintbrush that paints all law enforcement in a negative light. That's added stress.
Yeah.
So family first. And family comes from God. So I make it a point every morning to wake up a little bit earlier to spend time to thank the one who gave me another day to breathe the gift of life. And then also exercise, because it is a natural stress reliever. Mm-hmm. And it's very helpful for dealing with mental welfare as well.
Yeah.
And then helping others. I really find that I feel better when I'm helping others. Rather than being sad that I went through an addiction, depression, PTSD, I'm using that to help others, because people are going through things right now. It's a very stressful time.
No, that it is. Now, especially with the law enforcement officers, I know. It's,
yes.
And the week that we have coming up, or the weekend.
Oh, I'm not looking forward to what is in store for cops nationwide. This is something else. I'm to the point now where I'm just like, God, if you could just have some straight up divine intervention, just throw your hand of protection down, because I'm next week. Yes, it has the potential to be very bad. And I just pray and hope for the protection and safety of officers and any first responder across the country.
Oh, I know it. I think there was a report I read on email from one of the feeds that I get, is that, firefighter, they had a brick thrown through their window on the truck. Gosh. Or on the engine. And then a guy starts chasing them with a knife.
Firefighters.
Yeah. Chasing a firefighter coming on with a knife.
Unreal.
It is just going, it's going nuts. It truly is.
Yes, it is. And I, were the firefighters okay?
Yes. Yes, they were.
Okay, good. Good. Well, I hope that they help each other cope with that experience. You obviously don't sign up to be a firefighter and expect to be chased by someone with a knife. That's more of the law enforcement side. So that just shows what kind of times we live in where people are. I mean, everybody likes the firefighters, right?
That's right.
I mean, that's bad. Dang. I'm glad they're okay though.
Yes. Yes, they are. And, but it's a tough job, as you mentioned about the suicide rates, you know, the mental health, all of you, you know, your PTSD is similar. Right. From my understanding, I'm not an expert in that field at all, but, just with, working with both sides, you know, both mm-hmm. groups is, you see a lot of the same and you're out on the same calls.
Absolutely.
And, it's challenging, but, one thing that we, you know, the industry and everyone recognizes, you know, the better we start taking care of ourselves, the more resilient we can be. And, you know, and
yes,
and it all bleeds into each other and it, you know, it flows and all of that. And so there's as you, like me and many, many others out there, trying to preach and give examples and teach and,
right.
and motivate and get help. And there's so many people trying to work on getting the cultures changed to head down a path that we know is it can bring greater results, especially the, you know, I just watched a report this morning, a little news clip of a 50-year-old firefighter
uh-huh.
passing away and a, you know, cardiac issue and overweight a lot and you know, police officer job, firefighting job, the stress that comes with, you know, that physical stress that comes with when you're called, it's sad. And
it
and,
is.
And it's, you know, 50 years old is way too early to pass away. So we're all trying to do that. And hopefully we are making some traction and, you know, we all pull in the same direction. And I think we can make that, make some changes there. And, let me ask you a little bit, question that I have is that you talked a little bit about advice you would have for the younger officers, you know,
right.
Is, maybe repeat a little bit of that, you know, cause I know that, for example, my son's, he's in fire school right now. He's going to be a firefighter. But I know there are many other, you know, many young officers out there and ones that are in school, they're looking at this, they may not be married yet and all of that,
right.
But, you know, cause of course, I mean, what do you do when you come out of school? You just can't wait to jump in that career and you.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And
yes, absolutely. I remember a friend of mine told me when he got done with the police academy and he was out there for a while, he said, man, I would do this for free.
That's right. So could you sort of summarize that advice that you would give them though?
I would say, first of all, don't make the mistake that I did and let it become your identity. It's a job. And if you have to leave it because you get hurt on duty or your family needs you, or you're starting to feel effects on your body and mind that you will never be able to bounce back from, understand that you're not less of a person if you have to walk away from it, or if it's just best, it's not who you are. Who you are is who you are. So if you have to leave the job, which at first, I mean, when I heard that for the first time, I was like, whatever, I am called to do this. I will never have to modify or change anything about it. I get to do what I want to do. You're not in control of that. I hate to break it to you. You're not in control of that. Yeah. But due to the fact that you might have to leave it one day, or you get hurt and you absolutely have to leave it, which can happen. You're not invincible. You're not less of a person if you have to leave it. You're not less of a person if you understand it is just a job. It is not who you are. And I would also tell people that are getting into it, don't be a hero. You're not going to save the world. You can make differences here and there, but emergencies happen before you started, and they're going to happen when you leave the career. Crime for police officers, it happened before you started on the job. It's going to continue after you leave. So don't get out there and think you can get out with five people all because they might be dealing drugs. I'm sorry, one on five, not worth it. I don't care what's going on unless they're absolutely hurting somebody. That's another thing I would say is just don't be a hero. Also, make it a point each and every day to take care of you. Do something that can help you become a person who grows as a person. Because just like I've heard it said numerous times from motivational speakers, when a plant stops growing, it dies. When a police officer, when a firefighter, EMS, they stop this growth process of their human self, mental, physical, and spiritual and social development, they can die. And unfortunately, I can only really speak from the police side of the house. I'm sure it happens in fire and EMS and other walks of life and careers that are very demanding. It's just this mentality of we'll survive until retirement and then I'll just magically be happy. No, don't do that. Like you can't just give up 30 years of your life for the sake of a job just to get some pension. No, live, grow, enjoy life and do the honorable work that you've been called to do.
Right.
I could go on and teach a whole class about it, but those would be my top three.
I forget who said, but there's a saying, he died at 30 and wasn't buried until 75.
Yeah, that's a good one. Wow, I've never thought about it that way, but that's true. And I mean, I've been there too, where it would just kind of like, well, I'll embrace the phrase, embrace the suck until, you know, I retire. No, that is not healthy at all. That is not good because we're not guaranteed the next day. And you don't want to be, you don't want to have that perspective, but you also, you're not guaranteed the next day. And do you want to go to the into the ground being buried? And people say, he was pretty miserable or she was pretty miserable.
Right.
Not at all. Nobody wants that.
Yeah. Do you have you mentioned about don't be a hero, but do you have a hero or a mentor or anything like that?
God first, but I really have found great motivation. And I'm going to mention these names because I want, people can find these people on the internet. So Les Brown, one of the greatest speakers, probably in the history of America, in my opinion, I will listen to him. There's Ed Milet, Mel Robbins. These three are very good people to listen to for self-improvement and motivation and inspiration. So they are people I will turn to when I need to kind of hit the mental reset button. There are leaders in my life that I have had, like Sergeant Major John Paul Corville, who retired from the United States Marines a few years ago. He would always say pain is only temporary. And he was just one of those where his presence, it was nothing but leadership. And you only wanted to be a better person when you were, he was my platoon sergeant in officer candidate school. He just brought out the best in us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget that. So I try to bring out the best in other people because of how I learned to do that through him. He was one of the best leaders that I've ever had in my life. Those are kind of the hero figures.
That's outstanding.
Yes. Appreciate it.
Yeah. What do you look forward to? What's that desired future for you and maybe your family?
I really look forward to attending law enforcement trainings, conferences, seminars, and inspiring officers to understand life is a gift. The job is not your life, but you can have a great time in life with this job. And I just want to inspire and motivate as many as possible. And if any are listening now, hopefully I've done that for you, to just help you understand you're human and the job can take an effect on you. But if you take control of your mind, your body, your spirit, and your social life and work on it each and every day, you can have a very fulfilled life and a career. But that's what I look forward to doing, just inspiring as many as possible. And also, and I guess I should have mentioned it first, continuously growing as a good husband, as a good father, because that is challenging. I mean, kids, my gosh, I wish they came with an instruction manual. I really do, my gosh. But I look forward to watching my kids grow up because it is happening so quick. Like the days are long with them, but I can't believe my first one's 5 years old already.
Yes, that is so true. I share this one. I did it on Work Life Wednesday, one of my tips of the week that I put out, but I call it the window of time,
Scott. Okay.
And what it is that I ask a question such as, what do you need to do now that you might not be able to do in the near future?
Oh, yeah.
I'll put that in perspective. Like for me, my two youngest daughters, they're juniors and seniors in high school.
Okay.
And in my daughter's varsity cheer, my other daughter plays soccer. So, you know, making sure that I attended every cheer football game that I could, you know, this year. Mm-hmm. And then she'll transition into basketball cheer, but attend those events because I know come next August, she's gone.
Yeah.
She's out the door and I'll go from having dinners with her or sitting down in the sunroom, having coffee together and things like that, to going out to dinner, to watching her, being involved in her school things, talking about, she loves, both of them love school. So we talk a lot about academics and things.
Right.
But that goes away. That window of time closes. Sometimes people have elderly parents, you know, that window of time closes. Sometimes it's someone has an illness, that window of time closes, you know. Is there anything in your life, in your family or those close to you that you feel like, wow, I need to really pay attention to this window of time and make the best of it? And what would that be?
First thing that comes to mind and my heart is the fact that right now my grandmother is in the hospital and she's dying. She had a brain hemorrhage two days ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And I haven't, I haven't seen her since February because of COVID.
Yep.
And there were times when I thought, let me call her. And I didn't. So that was one thing where I wasn't present to that window being open because now it's shut. I mean, we are literally just waiting for her at this point to die and go to heaven. I can't speak to her. So family relationships, those are things that it's easy to get distracted by the to-do list or the career and not be present to family, as I've mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
But also the window is, it's kind of just like you. I mean, I'm noticing my kids are growing up so fast. I mean, I don't want to miss that. And unfortunately, a lot of people in first responder careers miss their kids growing up. It's all too common. I have had veteran officers who have older kids who are out of the house tell me, don't miss it. I missed it. Don't miss it. And I remember one of them, before he retired, someone said, well, what are you going to do when you retire? He said, I'm going to be with my grandkids because I missed my kids growing up. And legitimately heartfelt regretted that. So that's a window you definitely don't want to miss. And plus I'm 37. My mom said the other day, she said, you realize you're 40 in a few years. I said, okay, appreciate it. But I do know that physically I'm not always going to be as young as I feel right now. So I want to go hiking and work out and do martial arts, just do things in my youthful physical days that I know I won't be able to do later in life. Now, fortunately, because of technology and nutrition, understanding nutrition, people are not as old. Like, people can still be very physically active in their 40s, 50s, but I mean, life goes by pretty quick and I don't want to miss that window. So, those are just a few things that come to mind about that. How'd you phrase it? The window
of time,
window of time. Okay. I am writing that down.
Yes. Hey, is there anything that I did not ask you that you would like for me to have asked you or perhaps spend more time on?
No, I think we covered the spectrum. I really hope for the listener's sake that I was able to teach you something, inspire you in some way, help you to understand it's okay that to not be okay. There are things that you can do if you are in a bad spot in life. As the motivational speaker who I mentioned, Les Brown, he mentions, and I don't want to mess up the quote directly, so I'll paraphrase it. Problems and challenges have not come to stay. They have come to pass. But they can pass a lot quicker and you can become a better person because of them if you take care of yourself. And I also say that But there are police officers that go bad, as we have seen, like the George Floyd incident. If you take care of yourself, then you are less likely to do bad things on the job. Yeah. That I just want to throw that out there. Like, literally, your mental health and your physical health can affect your job performance. And no police officer wakes up and says, today is the day where I am very negligent and dehumanize someone. Today is the day where I abuse my power. If they do, they don't need to be in the job at all, first of all.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, focusing on health affects job performance.
Absolutely. And everyone goes into it with the right frame of mind. And it's a very, very tough job, tough industry. And in that we all need to be there for each other and try to do the best we can, just like with our military, you know, to support the military when they come home, you know, all that.
Yes.
We all know
because
that.
The
negativity, suicides a day.
Yes, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. And what unfortunately has affected the PTSD rate, suicide rate, depression rate. Oh gosh, I could go on about veterans. Is the fact that one, especially when the Afghanistan war and the Iraq war were at their height, the media was just being so negative about everything. This many troops died.
Yeah.
Or these people were speaking out against it. I'm not having a problem if someone speaks out against something, but failing to acknowledge the amazing things that the military was doing over there. And then when the troops come home and they hear the same negativity and they don't get the support that they need, that leads to that makes the PTSD, the depression, the suicide ideations worse.
Yeah.
Is that negativity and not feeling supported.
Right. And we want them to feel supported as well as all first responders. That's for certain.
Oh yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. Yes. 100%. 100%.
To close this out, I sometimes toss out an opportunity. If you would like to close out the podcast with a prayer or blessing of your, you know, however you'd like to do it. You don't have to, just wanted to give you an offer if you'd like to.
Oh, you mean just pray right now for the listeners and
close out the show.
Oh, yes. Great. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'm honored. All right. Well, let me see how I can do this thinking on the spot. Dear God, thank you so much for this time that I had with Dr. Hutchinson. And I pray that those who are listening are touched, inspired, and feel the desire to put you first, family first, themselves first, so that they can have all those things so well that they can do great things for others, whether it be helping someone on the side of the road or responding to a dangerous situation when people are in drastic need, immediate need of help. But we cannot do any of this without you. And I pray that during these very challenging times, we never lose sight of the fact that you are still ever present. And we are not to fear, not to worry. It is so easy to do those things. And we pray for forgiveness for the times that we do. But pick us up. Help us. We need you. We are nothing without you. And once again, thank you for this opportunity. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. I never thought I'd be praying at the end of a podcast. That was great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.